Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah. Remember that? Yeah, that was a good. That was a good time.
Yeah.
But I was still confident. Yeah, I was still confident in y'all's funny, and you delivered.
Oh, I appreciate that.
So good. Good on y'all. So hang on. On air, live mic. It is recording.
Oh, good.
By the way.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
We can get into a lot of things if you want to talk about Yadier without any research. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've got a baseball topic that we're going to hate.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I got several little things.
I want to talk about when you know in life that you've matured. Okay. Okay.
Good.
We maybe should have briefed him on some other stuff before we got started.
Ooh.
But let's go.
No, I like a good surprise.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Another episode of Highly Unapologetic Podcast. I'm with you as always, and Josh is now with you as always, and his wife is with you sometimes.
Yeah.
And she's back. So welcome back. Now let's just get right into it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
Anyways, I'm just going to just go head first into the deep end, okay?
Yeah.
We got a text from your wife the other day asking if Yadier Molina was first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Okay.
She did ask that question.
My answer was just simply yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
She sent that because we were already in discussion, and I said he won't be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
And I needed validation because I knew I was right.
Is he good enough for first ballot, but he's just not going to get it because he's a catcher?
There has not been a dominant defensive catcher that got first ballot Hall of Fame.
Pudge wasn't first ballot.
He
was a offensive bat. I mean, he was a good bat in his
position. He was good on both sides.
Okay. So here's my argument. Yadi was good on both sides too. He wasn't as good as Pudge.
Correct. And that's where my argument is.
At the plate. But when your catcher is hitting .277 for his career, success.
Oh yeah,
it's a great hitting.
.250 is a success.
A great
catcher.
Hitting catcher. Now, in comparison to Pudge, I did look this up. Pudge hit .290 something for his career,
right? Significantly sustained a better average.
He sustained a better average.
He had more power
while playing longer. He played two more years. I think he got like 300 something more games than Yadi.
Yep.
But when you're talking about defensive war, they're right on the same path. I think in regards to wins above replacement for the defensive side for Pudge, he was maybe 2 points higher or two runs, saved higher.
I don't know how it works.
But that's just purely defense. That's not taken into the offense into account. Now, once you throw the offense in, I think it boosted Pudge up 20 points.
Johnny Bench is the only other lifer catcher that was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Now, did
Joe Mauer was the other one, but he only spent half his career as a catcher and the other half as first base because he had bad knees.
Right. I think so. Here's my opinion on it. If you think of Yadier, you're really thinking of defense.
Right.
You're not really thinking about what he did at the plate, even though what he did at the plate was
good.
Super solid.
Right.
My catcher is hitting .270, I'm happy. I'm ecstatic.
I don't think that there's enough defensive old heads voting that they're going to put Yadier in. The only ones that go in because of their defense. First ballot are pitchers.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I think opposite of that, I think there's enough in the voting pool that would put a defensive catcher like Yachty in on the first ballot from a standpoint of we don't have catchers like that in the game currently.
Right. And here's my thing too, and I hate this argument, but I think it may be used when they're voting for Yachty in the first ballot. Is he's got a name, a well-known name, right?
Yeah. He played 19 seasons for the same team.
Played high level 19 seasons. I mean, his last few seasons. He may have dipped it, but he's still throwing people out at first. You know, right. A snap throw back to first after a pitch. He's still gunning people down. He's still great.
Yeah, they got two championships while he was their catcher.
Yeah, so that's my argument on Yachty. I think he should be first ballot. I mean, again, if you're going by history, like
that's where I think it is,
right?
Because the people who voted in Pudge and didn't vote in any other defensive catcher for, like, I mean, even still, Mike Piazza. Great hitter wasn't first ballot.
Right.
Right.
But was he the great behind the plate catcher that Pudge? And I think he was more well known because he could hit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. But that's kind of my point is that, like, even catchers that were great hitters.
Right.
And average defensive.
Right.
Like, hitters go in because of their hitting. The predominant defensive first ballot guys are pitchers.
I think, too, though, when you have a catcher, you don't have a catcher to hit. It's great when they can hit.
Right.
You have a catcher, though, to be a wall behind the plate and to, what's the word I'm looking for?
Keep runners true.
Yeah, and also keep your pitchers from getting in their heads. Yep. Keep them, you know, level, like they are the commander of the field, so to speak.
Agreed.
Yeah,
they are. Yeah, they're essentially the captain on defense.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for.
El capitan.
Especially for Yachty.
Yeah.
Dude. You good back there? You looking for your Yachty memorabilia?
Nah, I brought my glasses in here.
Oh yeah. You said you couldn't read.
Oh, you sure did.
And I brought them.
They could blend in with the table.
I went and found them. No, I don't have them.
Did you put them in your pouch, in your little kangaroo pouch?
No, I got my phone in there.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty cool.
Well, that's, I mean, it is what it is.
I can't see.
Did you set them in your chair and then sit down? Like,
yeah.
I hope not.
Oh. Well, I mean, there's...
Oh. The back?
Oh, they fell out of my pocket onto the ground and I stepped on them.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, like I'm trying to look at the clock time to make sure it's moving. It is moving, but I can't read the numbers.
See your lips moving.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Okay. So, yeah, here's my next question.
You look a lot like your brother when you put your glasses on, by the way.
Great.
Sorry. Got you off.
Y'all like, subscribe and share, and we'll see y'all next time.
Anyway.
So, here's my next question in regards to the catcher. Is Buster Posey Hall of Fame eligible yet? And when he is...
Yes, he is Hall of Fame eligible.
Is he? I thought he wasn't until next year.
When did he retire?
I don't remember.
I'm on it.
I thought he retired like 12.
But you need fact checkers.
Because he was injured.
But if he is not currently...
Or 19.
If he has not currently gone through his first ballot, is he first ballot? Because he's the same. He's defensive and he could hit.
He's not eligible until 2027. Okay, so he'll be eligible the year before Yachty.
The year before Yachty.
Yeah, okay. So that one actually will, that might give us some insight.
Baseline. Yes.
Yeah.
Because essentially you had Buster Posey hitting 3 and 4 in the lineup, which catchers shouldn't be doing. Cal Raleigh's doing it right now.
Yeah. But he's like one home run away from tying Barry Bonds pre All-Star break.
Yeah. When is the All-Star game? It's
Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah. So they got today and tomorrow. But he's on a... I wonder if he's in the home run derby, so that's going to ruin his swing for the rest of the season.
Yep.
Well,
it maybe
is
not.
Or it isn't. I'm like, it didn't ruin Griffey. It didn't ruin Bonds. It didn't ruin guys who were pure hitters.
Yeah.
So if Cal Raleigh is a pure hitter, which right now it looks like he might be.
Yeah, he's playing the role of one right now.
He sure is.
That dude is.
That's he's torching.
He's a beast.
That dude is nuts. And I hate that he plays for Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
I wish he played for like Arizona or someone. Someone that we don't have to like care about. You know what I mean?
Right.
But now
he said he's in the division.
But now we gotta face him 20 times a year. That's horrible.
Well, and Seattle has a Rangers number, and they don't know how to beat him.
For the most part, the Angels have had Seattle's number this year. I think we've won both of those series.
Yeah,
with Seattle. And there's my surprise face for the MLB season. The Angels are sticking around trying to do something.
Yeah,
you know
how?
Exactly, because their run differential is so far in the negatives.
Yeah,
you know when they win, they're winning one run games. When they're losing, they're getting beat by 11. Just like the Rangers series, the series that just ended, you know.
Yeah, they won 11-8 after how many lead changes,
right?
Or ties, right, in the middle of that game.
The night before it was what, 13-1,
something like
and
that.
And then the game four was like 11-4 or something like that.
So when four came in the last like three innings, or something.
Right? When they lose, they lose.
They just let it go.
But
did you? But that 11-1 or 13-1 or whatever game. They had three innings where they pitched a position player.
The Angels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to use a bullpen guy.
How do you feel about that? How do you feel about bringing in position players to pitch?
You have 162 games. I'm for it.
Yeah.
Especially
if you're getting blown out.
If you're getting torched. Let Jake Berger have a free home run on a
15
mile an hour.
So that was my next question. Like you throw the E-fist to Cal Raleigh, and you're already up 13-2.
Yeah.
And you're about to hit this off of Kike Hernandez.
Off a tee.
Yeah. And he's offering up the 40 mile an hour E-fist with like,
that's right.
Like, okay, do you
it was like the second pitch of the seventh inning. Jake Berger takes him deep and like sprints around the bases. I'm like, settle down, dude.
So I know there's some kind of unwritten rule, because you had that one guy, Mercedes, for Chicago a couple years ago, who started his year off so hot, just hitting home run after home run. He's real good. Nobody had ever heard of him before. And then that one guy that the Twins always bring in to pitch with the curly hair, the chubbier dude, and I can't remember his name ever. But
it's Twins. I wasn't paying attention.
Okay. So he gives him the old Ephus, you know, and this guy took him deep. Never heard from the guy again.
Yeah.
Like ruined his career hitting a homer. So I didn't understand that, because the guy came out of the gates hot that year. And
think about it. You're padding your stats in the only real way that you can pad your stats in baseball. You can't really pad your stats any other way unless y'all are torching the bullpen or the starter.
Yeah.
And then they bring in a utility guy to finish the game, and you just rack up hits.
Yeah.
That's really the only way
to
stat pad. And so Jake Berger has 12, 13 home runs. Like, everybody on the Rangers has 5 to 12 home runs, essentially.
Even Garcia?
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's the worst.
And so he gets one more home run. I think it was his 13th home run of the season off of this guy just throwing batting practice.
Yeah.
And first of all, why are you swinging to tear your oblique off a 40-mile-an-hour meet?
In a game.
In a game that y'all are likely going to win because they've conceded already.
Like, right.
Why haven't we just thrown the towel
in? Hey, would you put in Kevin Newman?
Right.
Okay, guys.
Hey, just in case y'all are curious, y'all will be able to hit him
easy. Just in case you're curious.
The next three guys.
He plays shortstop.
The next three guys popped up short.
They did it on purpose.
Well, I don't think so.
Oh, they were swinging before too?
They were swinging, dude.
So if it's Berger and then the three after him, that's the end of the lineup. So these guys aren't going to be.
They need the hits.
Hitting home
runs. They need some average. Yeah.
They need some stats on their pads.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is they were swinging for the fence because the guy's throwing batting practice.
What did you pull up?
Oh, I just wanted to check because I didn't think it was 12 and less. Wyatt Langford actually has 15 home runs.
Yeah.
I know you were close in that, but I was thinking we had at least somebody that was
Here's how the Angels are keeping pace. They've hit the third most home runs in the league. They are a hitting team.
I mean, they mm-hmm. went out and got Soler, who
they
is
got a Soler. Yeah. Joe Adell has 20 home runs, which we didn't expect.
Taylor Ward is
raking.
Yep.
Trout's got his 15 or 16, yeah. you know, 17.
How many does Darnold have? Because I know he hit two or three against the Rangers in his game series.
So then he's got two or three.
Okay, that's it.
He sucks.
He's a good defensive catcher. He's not a hitter.
Yeah. No. So, yeah.
But he was solid when they won the World Series.
But when it's Logan Ohapi, you can. He's a hitter. He's got 17 or 18, I think, 19 home runs. So yeah, that's how the Angels are keeping up, because they can hit.
Yeah,
and I told Riley this the other day. Kikuchi pitches, and I think his last two starts he's given up.
He gave up four or five to us.
He mm-hmm. gave up those. Well, and I'm talking about in the first inning. He gave up the two run home run. So he in the first inning. Yeah. I think his start before that he gave up two solo home runs back to back to the leadoff and the number two hitter. So he gets himself in a.
Rut.
He gets himself in an early rut, but you didn't see this against Texas, but against any other team. Last year, they would have just given up in the first inning. Oh, we're down 2-0. We're down 3-0.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. Now they're actually fighting back and actually hitting, because their pitching is still trash. They have the worst ERA combined for starters in the league. So
and they got decent pitchers.
They have
by name, anyways.
They're definitely in the twilight of their career. Kikuchi, his record doesn't show how good he's actually been. He's like 3-6. He's got a low ERA because he'll give up those two home runs in the first inning, and then he'll go seven scoreless after that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I mean, he's still getting quality starts and all that, but man, that's not sustainable baseball.
No.
You can't score 9 to 11 runs a game. You can't do it. It's impossible.
No, if you need that many runs to win, you're gonna have a losing season.
You're gonna have a hard time. So they are hovering around 500, which is great for me, because at this point, the past 11 years,
they were already mathematically.
Oh, there's an X in the standings by our name already.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
the Rangers are exactly the opposite right now.
Right,
their averages. Well. Their last month or month and a half, they've been hitting in the threes or fours,
right?
Depending on the hitter. But their first 2 months,
right,
hitting in the low twos or mid 100 batting average.
Yeah.
They just were not hitting. So right now their averages are climbing.
Yeah.
But they put themselves in a hole offensively.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they have some of the best starting pitching as a franchise we may have ever had from start of the rotation to the end of the rotation.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I was surprised we got to DeGrom the other night.
Well, but you only got three runs off of him.
Yeah. That's to your point. Right. Yeah, but I'm surprised that.
Like, even just our starting pitchers, if they do give up runs, they're not giving up more than five.
Right.
And if they even do give up five, our offense just isn't keeping pace with the other team.
Right.
So we have to have those big innings. Like, I know. The fourth game, we had seven runs in the third inning.
Uh-huh.
They have to have those big innings when they're about to go up to the bullpen.
Yeah.
Because the bullpen is
rough.
A little unsteady.
The Angels bullpen could probably be better, but it's probably better than it's been.
Reed Detmers.
In a long time. Reed Detmers to the pen might have been one of the best moves for his career, because he, other than the other night, he gave up those runs to Texas, he's been pretty solid.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a good plate of crow to have to eat, because
you did not like him.
I have never been a Reed.
But he was a starter before, yeah?
The hype train on that dude is wild to me. And I never understood it.
Yeah, I mean, he seemed to be, when he came in, the couple times we saw him, seemed to be all right.
And to start the year, it was rough. But he's kind of like, I think he needs to go ahead and just put it in the mindset.
Yep.
I'm a relief pitcher now. And then start working his way to, I wouldn't mind him working his way to being the closer in a couple of years.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Like, he's got good stuff to be a starter. He's a head case.
So catchers to first base is the longevity career move, then to DH, potentially, if they're a good batter.
Speaking of DH.
Pitchers
move to the bullpen.
The closing role.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Bullpen closing role is their
Smoltz
longevity.
Smoltz being the poster boy for that.
Yep.
And he was great at both.
Yes.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
I'm going to do a little squirrel move here.
Okay.
Ricky Henderson's on first base looking to swipe second. You can pick any catcher from any era to gun him down. Who do you pick?
It's hard not to pick Pudge or Yachty.
Yeah.
It's hard. Or Buster. I think I'd put him in that order, Pudge, Yachty, Buster.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who would you pick?
You wouldn't consider bench.
I think it's hard because we didn't get to play.
We didn't get to see Campanella. We didn't get to see Barrow. We didn't get to see him. But
we grew up watching Pudge and Yachty and Buster.
My guess would be there was nobody in the league at that time of those catchers who had a specialty for swiping bags like Henderson did.
I don't know, man. Back in the day, they were throwing the squishy T-ball. Like, it wasn't near as perfected as the ball we play with now.
Right.
Right? I mean, they were throwing hacky sacks down a second.
Right.
You know, not easy.
not easy, but, I mean, I'd have to take a look at the stolen base stats compared to caught stolen base stats, mm-hmm. you know, of the time that we didn't get to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so there's validity to Stupid Mario.
Okay.
When he makes a all-time list
you have to have
physically watched him. There is some validity. It's not completely stupid. I just say it's stupid because it's Mario.
Gotcha.
But there is validity to, you have to have seen him play.
Yeah.
Like I can say, just based on watching the movie alone and reading the book, Ty Cobb's one of my favorite players ever. Mm-hmm. Okay. And
Shoeless Joe, Ty Cobb.
I never got to.
Apparently incredibly fast.
Okay. Yeah. And so even though never got to watch them actually play,
yep.
I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Ty Cobb just because of his personality.
Yeah.
Nobody liked him. That's awesome.
It's true.
If nobody liked me,
yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm here for it. Okay. But it'll never happen. You two. Yeah. Can't shake you two.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyways.
Next scenario.
Okay.
Barry Bonds is up with the bases loaded, two outs.
Walking.
up by one.
Okay. What's the score?
Up by one.
What's the score?
Ninth inning, bottom of nine.
Give me a score.
4-3.
4-3?
Why? Ooh. Up by one.
Because I want to know how my hitters are doing
one,
tonight.
Bottom of nine.
If I have faith in my hitters to come in.
You're the visiting team. You have to pitch to them because they're down by one. Bases are loaded. Bonds is up. Two outs.
I'm taking my chances. I'll tie it up. And
you're going to walk him?
I will walk him and then trust my.
Okay. Score's tied.
4-4. Oh, then obviously you pitch to him.
Okay. Who you send into the mound to get him out?
I feel like this is a trick question. I don't know how he fared against the best closer ever.
It's true. I don't know how he did against. But okay. He didn't play that much because the interleague thing wasn't as prominent.
Right.
Right. So I might throw Rivera at him, and I might throw prime Chapman at him.
Okay.
See if that old man can get that.
I mean, so we just saw something about him and Gagne.
Yeah.
And
Gagne.
Okay, so Gagne threw 104 or whatever, and he went to him before the game and was like, dude, why don't you just come at me mano and mano, man? Stop doing all this curveball BS.
Trying to throw around him.
Yeah. Why don't you pitch to me like, I mean, you're the best on the mound right now ever.
I'm the best
at the plate.
I'm the best because I have you guessing.
Well,
that's why I'm so good.
So he sends him a fastball inside, like tries to break his ribcage type thing, shakes him off the plate. And so Bonds is like, oh, it's on. Okay. And so he pulls an inside pitch foul into McCovey Cove. And he said, my dad always told me if you want to get to a guy, send one foul over the fence. And so he did. And so the guy, he's like, okay, he's probably going to come outside now. Because he knows I'm on it, and he thinks my bat speed's going to change or my eyesight's going to change, so he's going to go middle to away. And he's like, that's exactly what he did, and I took it over center field.
Okay, so
104, 102, 101, whatever it was, he just torched.
Is that what Gagne was throwing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'll give you a curveball on one I might choose too. And just because of the racial aggression,
yeah.
John Rocker hates black people.
Okay.
Goodness.
So he might touch 110.
Yeah, maybe just
to, just because he's angry. Of- yeah, just because he's angry.
Okay. What about like knuckleball guys? I mean, when the knuckleball's on, that's hard to that's an easy ground ball pop up.
Okay, I want you. Who are the knuckleball guys? Wakefield, Dickey.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Oh, what's his name? Played for Texas forever.
You just said him, R.A. Dickey, right?
No,
R.A. Dickey,
another one.
Another one. Well, he didn't go knuckleball until he went to Toronto.
Correct.
Oh. And he won a Cy Young, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, brother.
I can't think of his Charlie Huff.
Did Wakefield ever win a?
Charlie Huff was a knuckleballer. Wakefield won in with Boston. What do you mean?
Yeah, a Cy Young. No, right? He was never.
I don't think so.
I don't think he was ever the best pitcher on his team.
No, but he was.
He was close.
He was close.
What was his? Can you pull his stats for me real quick? Yeah. Wakefield, I would just want to know what his ERA.
So you'd send Rivera or Prime Chapman.
Prime Chapman, Prime Rivera, dude, you could. Percival, Hoffman. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, there's so many.
Like, Ewens and Maddox.
Yeah.
Not in a closing role.
I was going to say, if it's any pitcher.
What if it's less than 90 complete game type thing? Yeah, he's given up a couple runs, but that's because they jumped on him.
Am I letting Maddox
finish the game?
No, I'm not letting Maddox finish the game because you're already shaky. You put three on.
Is he shaky though?
He put three on.
Who cares?
How did those three get on?
What if they were little Texas leaguers?
Okay.
Little bloopers.
What if it's a single and two walks?
What if
some of these runs are not earned runs?
Yeah. What if they're errors? Yeah.
I understand that, but he's still
throwing less than 100 pitches.
That's fine, but he has already. How many outs are there?
There's one more to get.
Okay, so it's two outs.
26 outs.
No, I'm taking Maddox out, and I'll bring it in Rivera because he put three runners on the base. So they're
you're bringing in a fresh arm.
No, he's been throwing for at least an inning and a half.
Oh, he's Rivera's already been. He's doing like a 7-out save.
Yeah, he's no. He's been in the bullpen warming up, so he's good.
Oh, I see it. But no, but still, you're putting him under pressure.
You're putting him under
bases loaded pressure.
That's how you become the best.
How many times do you think Rivera came in the ninth inning with the bases loaded? How many times do you think that actually happened?
I bet it happened some.
A minute amount.
Where you go into maybe the eighth inning up 8-1. It's a non-save situation. So you bring in Jack Black off the streets to get, you know, six outs to protect seven runs. And now all of a sudden, Jack Black, you know, got the bases loaded.
Yeah, why's it got to be Black?
Jack Brown. Jack Tan. I don't know. But anyways, Jack a tan. Jack a yellow.
Okay. You're down to one run. One man on a second and a third. Base hit wins. Pedro is on the mound.
Okay. Who am I bringing up?
Who are you bringing
up? Tony Gwynn. Just get me a hit.
Pete Rose?
That's right.
Pete Rose. Yeah. Give me Ichiro. Give me a singles merchant. Yeah. I don't care. Give me Tony Gwynn. He never hit for power.
Ricky Henderson.
Give me Ichiro. He never hit for real power in America. Maybe in Japan he could, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Give me Pete Rose.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm in.
Okay.
But
you don't want a potential like. I mean, you're not really bunting with two outs, but they're in
for a hard time because Pedro to me is top two. Yep. And he may not be too.
Pedro's good.
Pedro has everything
not,
you need.
He's not the best pitcher.
He's
ever.
Got everything you
he's
need
not
to be
the best
GOAT.
Pitcher ever.
He was a scrappy pitcher.
Listen.
For sure.
I loved how he hit batters.
I loved his attitude. I loved his attitude on the mound. And that already is an advantage.
But he's not hitting anybody right now. They got to get one out. And they're down by one, so a base hit sends them both in. Because you know the infield's in.
Wait, what team am I on?
Doesn't matter.
Am I on Pedro's team? I trust Pedro.
You're sending somebody to bat, no, so you're the manager of the team that's trying to beat Pedro.
Okay. Well, I'm scared.
Yeah. I've already wet my bridges.
I could say that. Ugh. You know, I've already coped with an L. I've already resigned my, you know, my mind is good.
That's fair.
You know, for an L, it's Pedro. Big fanboy. A fanboy in the dugout.
Okay, so
to Pedro.
You're putting in Yachty or Pudge to throw Henderson out.
Yachty, Pudge, or Buster.
Okay, or Buster. You're sending up Mariano or Prime Chapman to get Barry Bonds out to save the game, to finish the last out with bases loaded.
Yeah.
And you're putting in Ichiro, Pete Rose, or Tony Gwynn. Not in that particular order.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn would definitely be my
He'd be your, probably first. Be your number one. Yeah. I don't disagree with that one. To get a hit. Two.
Yeah, just need a hit.
Okay. Yeah.
Tony Gwynn made his name. It's getting a hit.
That's true.
You know? How many home runs did that guy have? Like double digits, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think he had triple.
I think
however long he played for.
I think he had single digit strikeouts for his whole career.
Yeah.
I think he only struck out like six times.
It's insane how many times he struck out given how long his career was and the number of it.
You know he was a basketball star.
Yeah. I did know that. He was good at
That's crazy.
Yep.
So Tony Gwynn, 20 years playing.
20 years. Crazy.
He had 135 home runs for his career.
Triple digits.
Okay.
Fantastic.
His 162 game average, though, for home runs was 9.
Yeah, I would say it's about 10.
So, yeah, single digits for home runs there.
Okay.
3,141 hits, averaging 209 hits a season.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Give me strikeouts. Give me Ks.
Let's see. I'm going to scroll over.
16.
Averaged 3 a season.
He actually averaged 29 strikeouts a season, 434 strikeouts over a 20-year career.
Yeah.
Brother.
That's awesome.
The man knows how to put bat to ball.
Yeah. And of that, too, he walked 790 times in his career, averaging 52 walks a season.
What was his...
walk to strikeout ratio.
What was his... walks to strikeout. Yeah.
It was awesome.
What was his career batting average?
Let's see. Career batting average. His career batting average is actually the same as his 162 game average, which is 338.
338 in 20 years.
Over 20 years. That's it.
Okay. So if you have Pete Rose readily accessible, because I think those two are your two best hitters.
Yeah. I mean,
Ted Williams. But then again, the Mario issue comes into play.
I mean, we never really saw Pete Rose either.
We never saw Pete Rose, but there is more on film for Pete Rose than there is Ted Williams.
That's fair.
You
correct.
You know, so
I would argue that the pitching that Tony Gwynn saw was not quite as good as the pitching Pete Rose saw.
Might disagree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. But I would need a week to tell you why.
Okay.
I need a week. So who are your big name pitchers in the 60s and 70s when Pete Rose was playing? Carlton? Was he Bob Gibson? Oh, Nolan?
Yeah.
Okay. When Tony Gwynn was
he played how many seasons? Pete Rose plays like 25 seasons.
Okay.
So he played 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Okay.
So he saw several of the same pitchers that Tony Gwynn saw.
That's true.
Tom Seaver, Jim Palmer, Steve Carlton, Gaylord Perry, Catfish Hunter, Nolan Ryan, Bert Blevin.
Oh, whatever.
Phil Nieriko.
To name their kid Gaylord.
Dwight Gooden, Don Sutton.
Dude.
Okay.
The list is extensive in those couple decades.
And so, Tony played in the late 80s, 90s. Did he play in the 80s?
He played.
Or was he mid-90s into the early 2000s?
He played 20 years.
I think 2001 was his final season.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can pull that back up.
So he played 80s and 90s. So he's going against a lot of the pitchers in the 80s that Pete Rose is going with.
Right.
And then you throw in.
Now, then he also did see the occasional Randy Johnson, Pedro, but he's also in the National League, so he did see those American League guys, right?
But he did see Oral Hershiser, who was a great. He did see the Braves plenty, which was the Maddox, Smoltz, Glavin.
Yeah,
you know, in a series. You know what I mean?
24 years for Pete Rose, by the way, and he only played National League.
Right.
Right.
Anyways.
You got any more of those? I like those.
Okay. No, I just made up those three. Those are good scenarios to figure out. But I do have a question about, how do you feel about the no-pitch intentional walk?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I don't like it.
Like, we're not going to throw any pitches to you. You just go ahead and take the base, you know.
I don't think I care.
Yeah. Okay.
That
like,
part.
I mean, okay. Where's so, that? What's that guy's catch? That catcher in? I can't remember, but he would. There's a video.
Yes. Pena. He'd bring it.
Tony
back.
Pena. Yeah. He'd come on back down and.
I mean, I get that part.
I mean, it
but
is.
But you can only
deception of the game.
You can only do those bush league tricks for so long. You know, you can only use that once. You know what I mean?
Well, just I think like you can use it many times. You just can't use it back to back.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You definitely couldn't do it twice in a game.
Yeah, but in a big spot?
Right. It's kind of like the hidden ball trick.
Yeah.
I think, how do you feel about the hidden ball trick?
I'm here for it.
Are you?
I'm here for it. Like if they're not doing something like tossing the rosin bag while they're up on the mound.
Right.
You know? Or something like that, where they're trying to deceive you, acting like they have a ball that isn't a ball. Because once they put their foot on the mound, it becomes a balk and all this other stuff.
Right.
Like, if they're just time-wasting, and they haven't thrown the ball back to the pitcher, and nobody's paying attention on the offense
that
side.
That I get.
Yeah.
That's a great
I'm
one.
Here for it.
Yeah. But that's
the only way it works, is when the coaches and the players don't pay attention.
What was it, Little Big League?
Yeah.
They did that big extensive one to
they threw it and acted
Griffey.
Like they and the oh, no. security guard was in on
rookie
it.
Rookie of the year.
Was that rookie of the year? No, rookie
no,
of the
year. No, they did both. They did a hidden ball trick in both.
Oh, I'm talking about the one with the twins. Yeah.
Little Big League.
Yeah, Little Big League. But that kind of hidden ball trick, I think that's a little bush league. You know, I don't like it. Do it. It's cool, whatever. But to plan so extensively on a hidden ball trick that you are that screams to me desperation.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
well, in that movie that is what they had.
Yeah.
In that situation, it was a desperate
the movie was we have to win this.
Desperate times call for desperate
and
measures.
Rookie of the year, you know, Henry had lost his gift and they were
Henry,
scrounging for outs.
Runamucker.
What would you dude?
Rosenbagger.
Dude, what would you do if you woke up and all of a sudden could throw 120 miles an hour?
I'd go for a tryout.
I'm calling
coolest
somebody.
Coolest husband ever.
Come check this out.
I'm definitely calling somebody. The scouting report would definitely be like, yeah, dude could throw 120. Can't hit the target, though.
So put it where it needs to go.
Someone's dead.
Give him number 99.
Someone is definitely dead, but it was funny when I was friends with that girl whose brother played for the Reds. I think I've told y'all this story. He was down in Louisville AAA doing a rehab start, or he had gotten in trouble or something. He got sent down to AAA for whatever. He told us a funny story that anytime he went out with Billy Hamilton, he got sent down to AAA shortly after that. He said, I always got in trouble when I hung out with Billy. But anyways, he was in Louisville, and so Casey and I went up to Louisville for the weekend and hung out with him. Jesse Winker was in Louisville at the time. There's a couple others. I don't remember exactly who from the Reds. But Buffalo is in town, and Buffalo is the AAA for Toronto.
Okay.
So Vladimir was in town.
Oh, yes.
Nice. So that was cool. So we went out there, and so the first night we got to Louisville, he didn't pitch. He was stat tracking or ball tracking or whatever. So we went to the game, watched it anyway, and then we went out to dinner, and he's telling us all the funny stuff. So then they play. He pitched the next day. And so the next day we went to brunch or lunch or whatever. Is not too girly. We went there. Okay. And
no mimosas.
He was like,
pinky up.
He was like, I had to go to a meeting this morning because Barry Larkin's in town.
Oh, yeah.
And Barry Larkin likes to come to town and talk to people, like talk to the big leaguers, you know, actually like give him a piece of it, you know, give him advice, whatever. And I was like, oh, how did that go? He goes, well, and Cody touched 97-98 on his fastball. He just couldn't control it. Yeah. And he was telling us, you know, when I throw my fastball, if I wanted to hit the zone, I got to dial it down 93-94.
Yeah.
He goes, Barry Larkin told me, throw the ball. You have a gift to throw the ball at 97-98. How are you going to learn how to control it if you're throwing 93-94 for your fastball?
Yeah.
Throw the ball. And so Cody was like, so are you going to take the advice? He goes, it came from Barry Larkin. You take the advice. Yeah. He goes, I'm a chunk it tonight.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. He goes, probably hit four batters, but I'm a chunk it tonight. So anyways, first inning, nails two batters. Okay. That's not the end of it.
Okay.
So it's still a close game, even though his whip is in the sevens right now. You know, he's hitting batters, walking batters, whatever, but he makes it to the sixth inning. So the first inning, he hits a couple. He goes a couple more innings, gets into like the fourth or the fifth, hits another, gets into like the sixth inning, and Vlad Jr. comes up and pelts him.
Oh,
fourth batter. Okay. Hit. As soon as he threw the ball, Cody flung his glove on the ground. He wore goggles. He's 6'7", probably. He's a big dude. He wore the goggles, and pitchers with goggles.
You here for it?
They're intimidating.
Okay.
He wore the goggles, threw the hat down, and benches cleared immediately. He knew as soon as he let that go, it was about to be a fight. You know who else was on that team at the time?
On the Buffalo team?
On Louisville. Amir Garrett. Amir Garrett and Cody were best friends.
Okay.
Or still are. Okay. You know, I think Cody got married not too long ago, and Amir was his best man. But anyways, you know, Amir's crazy. When it comes to fights.
I mean, no, I don't, actually. I don't even know who you're referencing.
Amir Garrett is the Cincinnati Reds pitcher that was being taken out of the game and charged the Pittsburgh dugout for a fight. Have you never seen this video?
Okay.
Went into Pittsburgh's dugout by himself swinging.
Yeah, I have seen that.
Okay, video. That's Amir Garrett.
Okay.
So
yikes.
So I kind of knew based on, you know, stories Cody had told.
Yeah.
Might get good, you know, but it didn't. It cleared real quick. But the only reason it was benches clearing was it was Vlad.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows.
You don't hit Vlad unless.
Well, everybody knows.
At least not the fourth guy.
If you're down in AAA, you're working on something.
That's true.
You know, so.
Yeah.
But it was Vlad, so they had to clear the benches.
Which so I get. Regarding the Barry Larkin advice.
Yeah.
So my dad and I took a trip to Vegas and saw Pete Rose.
Uh-huh.
Did one of those little things at the MGM.
Yeah.
It's $100 and you get a signed ball and you get 5 minutes with him and some pictures and stuff. And I was like, well, we're not going to be here that much. So let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
And so we got to sit down and talk with him. And, I did a little research on him just because I didn't see him play, but stories are endless about him. And I didn't want to talk to him anything about the gambling stuff. I didn't even want to bring up any sour grapes of any kind. And so I started talking to him about his career. He's the only player to play 500 or more games at five different positions.
Right.
No other player's ever done anything like close to that.
Right.
And so I asked him which was his favorite position. And he said, probably first. And I said, is it because it was the least stressful? And he said, none of it was stressful. It was a game.
Right.
I got to play a game and get paid to play a game.
Right.
None of it was stressful.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I started thinking, I was like, what a stupid question.
Well, yeah. No, it's a great question because it puts things into perspective.
Yeah. Like I was thinking physically stressful on his body. Like he's not running 20, 30 yard sprints in the outfield to catch fly balls or line drives or whatever. He's within a little box at first base. He goes to first base anytime there's a ball hit on the ground. Right. And he's backing up and he's cutting off. Like, the physical stress on his body at first base has to be less than any other position he's played. He's not diving for a ton of stuff like he did at third or anything like that.
We are currently out of the age of sports where you play the sport because you love it.
I 100% agree with you.
There's
probably a small handful of guys in sports that still
play. We don't love the game. After the finals, the NBA finals were over, I saw one of the talking heads.
Yep.
After Halliburton got hurt, said something along the lines, now's the time to decrease the amount of NBA games from 82 down to 67. I think he said 15 games.
Yeah, because it's a business now.
It's all about the money, and we don't actually love the game anymore. Pete Rose loved the game. That's why it was not stressful. It may have been hard on his body.
I think that's why it was such a crock that he got added into the Hall of Fame or allowed to be on the ballot or whatever the thing is after he died. Like, Pete Rose lived and breathed the game of baseball.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was a disservice to do it to him posthumously.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Leave him alone.
If he was a complete turd in every aspect of his life, if he couldn't care less about the game at all after he got done, or even while he was there, it was just a paycheck, it was just a means to an end. If that's who he was, okay, fine. Like, nobody would have even thought about how much of a disservice it was. But this guy was an ambassador for the game, even whenever he was banned from the game. He was still talking. He was still on
MLB Network.
Doing all kinds of spots, everything.
Right.
And
so, I agree. If I am Pete Rose's family, I'm burning the whole place down. Leave him alone.
Yep.
I've said it for years. The man should have been in the Hall of Fame as a player.
Absolutely.
Ban him as a coach.
Right.
Yeah, but he just put a bet to win because he said, my team's that good.
My team is better than yours.
And that was the other thing,
too. And I get the whole, you could have gone to the other coach, hey, I got a lot of money on this game. Y'all throw this one for us. I understand the potential collusion that could have happened in order to create a disparity, but he was dead set on, I thought we were going to win every game we put ourselves on the field.
Oh, yeah.
So I bet to win.
Yeah, so that was my whole beef when they unbanned him. Leave these men alone.
Yeah.
You
banned him, keep him out.
You have not cared about lifting the ban.
Yep.
You know, for X amount of years. I think
they've known for years they were going to lift the ban the man died.
Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. And as soon as he did die, that's the first thing I said. I said, "Watch, he's going to be on the ballot now." Yep. Because Manfred's a joke.
Yeah.
Baseball.
Selig kept him out too for all that time when he could have reinstated
I would say arguably that's the only solace in it is that there was a change in commissioner.
Right.
So maybe Manfred had less at stake or whatever than Selig or something. I don't know.
Selig, I got the idea of a more old school tone with him, and I don't think he would have lifted the ban after death if he was if it was him. He's now I made a decision.
Yeah.
You know, or a decision was made.
Right.
And that's what it's gonna be. Why are we digging up Shoeless Joe Jackson to put his jacket on? Like, why are we doing that? Like, leave these men alone. Yeah. You didn't care enough while they were alive. Leave them alone.
Yep.
Why do they don't even get to celebrate it now,
dude? It's so immature.
It's
just immature.
But that's that's the mindset these days.
You know,
shut up. That's the mindset these days. Rappers who die that we have never heard of are all of a sudden the GOAT because they died.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
No.
All of a sudden, we're gonna throw this man in the Hall of Fame just because he died, even though he deserved it while he was alive.
Yeah.
Yeah, Manfred's got a lot to fix, but he never will. Like blackouts in baseball are the dumbest. Like, no other sport does that.
Oh, you're talking about like the ability to see your home team game?
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Like, you have to pay.
You have to have the specific service to watch your.
You know what was awesome in Florida? When we logged into MLB Network, we got to watch the Rangers.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're in Florida.
Right. Yeah.
A little geo-tracking.
Yeah.
It's good.
Big Brother's always watching your moves, man. Yeah. We know you're in Florida. Go ahead and watch the Rangers.
Why don't you watch that team?
You know what? I'll throw in the Angels, too. Yeah, that's right. Or the Astros. They're Texas. I'll throw in the Astros, too. But, Yeah. Leave it alone. Yeah. Leave Pete alone.
So immature, dude.
Shut up. Why are you doing? I think I missed something.
I need you to just think for a second.
You said it at the very beginning. Yeah.
You had a question. Uh-huh. At what point do you become mature?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Yeah. You're welcome.
He was just giving you're
welcome
nice little...
for the lead in.
Listen, man.
That you did not take.
Listen, man. Sometimes
I can lead you to water.
Sometimes okay? When I record podcast, I alter my mindset. Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I did that this morning.
Oh, did you?
As soon as I woke up, yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
So,
must be nice.
Sorry I forgot.
No, it's all right. I mean, if you don't want to go down that hole, that's fine.
I do. You know what maturity is?
Yeah.
Realizing that blue cheese is better than ranch with wings.
This again.
That sounds like
maturity.
It sounds like misinformation.
Maturity is realizing that while you were growing up hating Brussels sprouts, your mom just didn't know how to make them.
That's fair.
And Brussels sprouts are the best vegetable.
Brussels sprouts are pretty good
in the world.
Yeah.
That's maturity.
Maturity is understanding that Sweet Tarts and Smarties are the same thing.
Oh,
maturity is realizing that they are in the same genre, uh-huh. but completely different.
Well, completely?
Yes.
Come on.
They are, completely different.
Completely different.
On the chalk same candy.
Stuff. Hey, you want to eat a little bit of candy and then have dry mouth for 3 weeks?
That's not what happens.
Here, have some Smarties or Sweet Tarts.
That's not
your
what
choice.
Happens. That's
They're
not what
same.
Happens. They don't. You don't get dry mouth after eating them.
Okay. Sure.
That's not what you're doing.
That's
what you're doing when you're eating it now and later because it's all stuck to every piece of tooth that you got.
I'm going to need a drink. Wash this powder down.
No, that's not how it goes.
That's exactly what happens.
Hey, you know what I recently found? The snow cone shop up by South Garland is the best.
Yeah.
Good.
Amanda and I go every Sunday after church.
We went to that high school.
Yeah, we went to that snow cone stand.
That was a regular trip.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was really good when they did the cream because it was like an ice cream flavor or whatever. Yeah. And they just put the sweetened condensed milk and cream on it. Dude, I think that's part of the reason why I am the shape I'm at.
Y'all like
still there.
Y'all like pickles, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm a pickle guy, yeah.
Okay. Would you put pickles in a snow cone?
I wouldn't, I know we have a kid that would.
Like a pickle flavored snow cone?
Okay, so let me put you on.
Or the whole pickle.
No, let me put you on game here, okay. As the kids would say. You ever heard of a Piccadilly?
Yes.
Okay, so
one at Sonic. They have something at Sonic right now.
Nope, they sure don't.
They did.
It's not. Nope.
Okay.
Next time we're in San Antonio, we will find a Raspa truck. And I will put you on game because the one here at the Texas T, it don't do it. So here's what you do. You pick whatever flavor you want. I go watermelon.
Okay.
Okay. So they fill up the bottom of the cup with snow cone like they normally would.
Sure.
Watermelon flavor that bad boy. And then they put diced dill pickles.
Okay.
On top of it.
Okay.
Okay. They put a little tahini.
Okay.
And a little chamoy. You can tell them not to.
Sure.
Chamoy is good, though.
Okay.
Anyways, little chamoy.
Kind of sounds like the same thing.
Liquid version, brother. It's different.
Okay.
It's here we go. Here taste. We go with the mayonnaise and miracles.
Similar taste.
Just because I don't like them, they got to be the same. But anyways, so they do that. Then they put the top of your snow cone on.
Oh.
Okay.
This is in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watermelon. And then, here's the best part. Uh-huh. They take a sweetened packet of Kool-Aid powder,
okay,
and sprinkle it on the top.
Okay.
Delicious.
Any flavor of Kool-Aid powder, or the flavor that you
usually
the flavor you pick.
Well, I think purple is the appropriate flavor in this instance.
Okay.
But I'm sure
purple is a flavor.
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the correct flavor?
I don't know.
Purple.
You tell me. Grape.
Well, no. When it's Kool-Aid, what flavor do you want? You give a color, brother.
Okay. Yeah, it was always red or purple.
It's red
Kool-Aid in our house.
Or purple or blue or orange.
I'm sorry.
It's like Gatorade.
Sure. I always wanted to see what I could get from reading.
If you listen, I've seen the meme. If you call a Gatorade flavor by its actual name, you are law enforcement for real.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Psychopath.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's all good. It's all good, brother. But
Sorry. The red
way,
is fruit punch.
The way, I don't know what red is. I just know it's red.
All right.
And it's up. And it's good. Okay. Okay, officer. But the way they did it over here at the old Texas Tea, mm-hmm. and I understand because y'all don't do Mexican food very well up here. But
okay.
Anyways, mature.
I did some pretty good fajitas last night.
Maturing yeah, is realizing that the Mexican food in Dallas is not that great.
In comparison to San Antonio, yeah, you're correct.
But maturity is realizing that Mexican food.
Slow down.
Not in Mexico. It's pretty much all the same.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, brother.
Anyways, what are we doing?
Anyways.
What are we doing?
The Texas
We got
tea.
Salsa. We got queso. We got chips. We got fajitas. We got poblano peppers.
Y'all do white salsa up there, or
you
white
stuff
queso
the pepper.
Up here.
I don't know what
I
that's
don't.
Called.
Well, I know you don't where, at the house.
I don't at know work. Where you're going that does white queso. Mm-hmm.
Places around here.
All the places we go.
Speaking
does
of, do proper. You want to go? Do you want to go?
Yes.
Yeah. To the little spot over by the Pizza Hut after we're done.
Little spot by the Pizza Hut.
Little taco
the
shop.
The little birria spot.
Birria spot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I will. Anyways, let's okay. get back to this. The yeah. way the Texas Tea does the Piccadilly
okay.
is they do the bottom of your snow cone.
Uh-huh.
They do the diced pickles,
uh-huh.
and then they hand it to you.
Oh, they don't top it?
They don't nothing? Top it with nothing. Like
so you got, you're missing half a snow
at
cone?
Least, yeah, and I paid specialty price for it. I didn't pay just regular snow cone price
is
for
that
it.
Is that what it's called now, to Texas Tea? That little
hey, it's,
snow cone
it's
shop?
Texas something.
No,
it
changed
I
names a couple times.
All I know it as is, oh, bless you. I thought sorry. I was about to say something funny because you were winding up a laugh.
I was trying not to sneeze loudly.
But, yeah, that's all I know is that's just the spot on Sundays. For
yeah.
Amanda Joy
okay, yeah.
and Adam, and she gets the...
Dude, the line was crazy when we was in school.
Was it?
When school's it's, in session?
Sometimes it is crazy.
Yeah. Because nobody drove.
Amanda does school. Not enjoy getting out of the car.
Okay.
Yeah. And I have learned about her recently that she is not a fan of strangers.
Yeah.
And I found this out by... I love strangers.
Sure.
Gives me something to make fun of.
Okay, sure.
Right? But Amanda, when there are strangers that come around,
mm-hmm.
if we are standing waiting for a snow cone, if they come up to get in line, she gets closer yeah. real quick. She will. Yeah.
She's just leery.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that about her. She is very self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very aware of her surroundings around her. She is a...
It took her a minute to open up that day that Mom brought her over for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
To open up to
yes, there was Gigi a lot was, going on. Yeah, Gigi was yeah. going. Gigi was crazy. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah. then
I love Gigi.
But then
Gigi's
she started
my favorite person on the planet.
Then she started opening up and you yeah. know responding and everything.
Yeah,
it took her a minute to get to know.
No,
her.
She. I have learned so much about Amanda.
Yeah.
Over the past probably 2 months or so.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Amanda's great.
She is literally one of my favorite people on the planet.
I think one of my favorite things about her is you know when just to leave her alone.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
I just don't want to be messing with her right now. And you can just see it on her face. And okay, hey, love you. See you later.
At the same time, if you are one of her people, she will let you put a smile on her face when she is trying to tell you to leave me alone.
There's no question about that.
Absolutely. And that's what I love most about her. She loves her people hard,
yeah, yep.
you know. So, yeah, one of my favorite Sundays are becoming
I'll tell
one
you,
of
that's
my favorite
how you,
days.
That's how you know when you're getting mature.
Yeah.
Is when you can love your people hard.
Yeah.
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 And it's, I mean, and there's no question about it.
When I first got up here and started hanging out with them, and Amanda was very open and receptive to me,
mm-hmm.
My first thought was, she thinks I'm Don.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that.
And then it's...
I mean, you have a striking resemblance.
Yeah. To my brother right now?
Well, the glasses just, you know, above the beard.
Okay. My beard is much better than Josh's.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen his.
Well...
And he shaves it regularly.
He shaves it regularly.
Yeah.
You know what that makes him? A woman.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, brother. You don't let nobody tell you to shave your beard or cut your hair. You do what you want.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for the advice.
I was making fun of myself.
Yeah.
For letting
Oh, you were influenced to do something.
I was influenced to
trim it up.
Yeah. Guess what's happening now?
Soon.
Growing it out.
It will be longer.
Growing it out, brother.
You're going to look like you did.
How long are we going to let that thing grow? Are you going to keep the hair about where it is?
I'm going to keep the sides shorter.
Are you going to let it grow out to where you man bun it every now and again?
Yes, I will be growing the top back out.
Now, okay. I have a question.
Yeah, I got an answer.
Gonna keep it tame so that way you don't look like a homeless person again. Yeah.
Did I ever tell you my mom called me homeless Jesus? Have we been through that?
I agreed with your mother when you told us this.
So when we went to Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I think it was me in Memphis by myself. I was coming home from Minnesota. My mom says, Josh is preaching today. Let's go to South Haven. So I said, okay. And when we went in, Josh is clean cut.
Oh, yeah.
He's been that way for a long time. Super clean cut. And somebody who knew us both, I can't remember who it was. I have an idea who it was, but he said something about the vast contrast in the two. Mom says, yeah, how do you think I feel about coming into church and my son is preaching today all clean cut, and then I'm being followed in by homeless Jesus? And I was like, she's not wrong.
Okay, JW.
Yeah. You know her initials are Jew? Jacqueline Lane.
Nice.
Yeah, so she's Jew.
Okay.
She runs the
Okay, she's Jew by choice.
Yeah, well.
She married the W.
No, she sure did.
She's Jew by choice.
Because she was a Gillis. She was a Jeg.
Jeg.
Yeah, she was a little Jeg for
us. Quit jegging. Start Jewing.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. That was kind of cool. But hey, so you know what I actually found, though? And I did not like it at the time. And I didn't understand when I was told, when I first got started, like went to Centerville, mm-hmm. they're like, yo, clean yourself up. Like you look like a bum.
Okay. Who told you this?
So multiple people.
Okay.
Multiple people that are close to the family that we won't be naming. But anyways, so then I found a picture while I was in Memphis at that time with my mom, and I took Josh's kids to lunch.
Okay.
One of them got a hold of my phone. It was taking pictures of everybody. I didn't even realize it. So I found a picture. And I went, whoa, that is what I look like? And so it was not long after that.
Okay, yeah.
That I did go get the haircut.
Okay, good.
So.
Yeah, yeah.
But now that I'm not restricted to grow my hair out long, you know, by any certain people. Homeless Jesus is coming back, brother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just run a comb through it every now and
through
again.
Through my hair?
Yeah.
Well, I
or your beard. Like, I mean, straighten that bad boy up every now and again.
I got a heating comb. I do have one of those.
You got a hot comb, huh?
Yeah, I got a hot comb to take the wrinkles out of the beard. Okay. It's like an iron. Yeah, iron? Do you ever iron? I iron. I'm old school.
No. I mean, I would if we had an ironing board.
You know, ironing boards are like 40, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
They're like, what?
Yeah.
What are we doing, America?
Yeah. I'm just, you know what?
Tariffs.
If someone's worried about the wrinkles on my shirts, they got way bigger issues.
Well, I worry about the wrinkles on my shirt.
That's fine.
You know?
You're worried about your wrinkles.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about my wrinkles. If you're worried about my wrinkles, you got things going on in your life that you need to address that don't involve me.
Maturity is worrying about the wrinkles on your own shirt.
Yeah, whether or not you're going to do it.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah. I bought those.
And not worrying about other people's wrinkles.
Yeah, I don't care about other people's wrinkles.
That's maturity.
Unless it's Riley's. Riley is just a slob.
Okay. I mean,
I love him. I love him to death.
Yeah, worry about your kids' wrinkles. But once they get to a certain spot, you're not worried about their wrinkles.
Okay, good. Because he,
your mom should not be worried about your wrinkles.
Once they hit adulthood, they should be worrying about their own wrinkles.
So what you're saying is my mom shouldn't be worried about my hair and my beard either, because they're wrinkled a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So she should just mind her own business.
I mean,
and so should the,
you should be worried about your own hair and beard.
And so should the supposed friends that I have at church.
It's one of those, if you're happy with your appearance, it really shouldn't matter what anybody else has to say about it.
What are we doing looking at the homeless guy who walks in, or the guy with a lot of riches? Like, what are we doing, you know, being judgmental over one and not over the other? Like, what is the value in that?
Yeah.
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 Sorry, you have a home now, but
I just don't. My point. I just don't want people thinking it's the second coming, and it's just me.
It's just Adam. Don't just worry. Me.
Yeah, we're you know what I'm saying.
I'm just looking for the lightning.
Listen. When
I anticipate it.
When I walk into some place looking like homeless Jesus, just take a whiff. If it's not burning yet,
yeah,
it's not happening.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair. If you're not wearing a tunic, then it's probably not you.
Where can I get a tunic?
I'm sure you can find one wherever.
And some Birkenstocks.
I've got mine right here.
You got Birkenstocks?
Yeah.
Well, I need a tunic. I want to come in looking like Friar Tuck, but people yeah. thinking it's Jesus. You yeah. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You remember who
you're gonna I think you're going to have to let all the hair grow evenly, though.
Wait.
Sides
oh,
and all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's where.
I don't think mullet Jesus is a thing. I could be totally wrong, but I just don't think that it is.
Maybe that haircut is not supposed to be called the Edgar. It's supposed to be called the Jesus.
Maybe.
Or do you know how to say dirty in Spanish?
No.
Dirty is sucio.
Okay.
Right? And so you got Jesusio. Okay. You see what I did there?
Dirty Jesus. That's interesting.
Well, I would.
That's a tangent.
I cooked one night and took it over to a friend's house.
Okay. Wait. You cooked.
I cooked.
And then took the cooking.
I cooked here.
Over to a friend's house.
This sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel like we've done this once or twice.
What, this story?
No, cooking at our house and then bringing the cooking to a friend's house.
Yeah. Done that.
To eat dinner together.
Yeah. I enjoy that.
Yeah, it's good.
Anyways, I did that.
I like transporting the cooking.
Well, yeah. I did it because of the climate of their life and what was going on in their life.
Yeah.
You know, so.
We did too.
You did. Yeah. But anyways, I was asked, where did you cook this? Because, you know, my oven doesn't work.
Yes.
You know, so
yes, we do know this.
We know.
So
based on the condition and quality and situation of the life.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, came from the Casa de Jesusio. So that's what I have named my kitchen. Casa de Jesusio.
Your kitchen is the house of Dirty Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Casa Jesusio.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know how to say kitchen in Spanish. Otherwise, it would be that.
Yeah,
Jesusio.
Okay. No, casa is good.
Casa
for just the kitchen.
House of Dirty Jesus.
Yeah.
But
just where the tile is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
I got a friend down in San Antonio.
Maturity is not focusing on one particular point of a story and making fun of it.
No, that's ADD.
Yeah.
I don't think that's maturity. I've got that too. I'm a mature ADHD patient.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a friend at home named Chewy, but his first name is Jesus. Mm-hmm. So oftentimes it's Jesusio.
Okay.
It's clever.
At home?
It's in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
San Antonio is home, brother. Just like Garland is home for you and
Garland's home.
Garland
for
is home for you, even if you're living in Florida.
Or if you Garland moved to is still Minnesota home. For a little while.
You know that
San Antonio was still home.
San Antonio's still home, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're getting it, brother.
Just checking.
Maturity is stopping what you're doing right now. Okay, I don't appreciate that, even a little bit. Actually, I do. It's kind of funny. But anyways, we're a little over an hour, and you have offered tacos, or offered your presence at the taco joint with me.
It's true.
And I accept.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, I hope they're as good as something that would come out of the Casa de Jesusio.
Yeah.
But
well, I do, too.
We're bound to find out. Okay, so here's my thing, okay? From San Antonio, we all know this.
Yeah, home.
So we know, I'm from home.
Yeah.
And Berea Tacos, they're kind of big in San Antonio.
Big as in size or popularity?
Popularity.
Okay.
They're kind of a thing.
Okay.
Okay. Now, it has been my experience, not only in San Antonio, but also in Minneapolis or St. Paul, Minnesota, that the best Berea comes from joints that look like trash, but they offer karaoke. Okay.
Okay.
There is karaoke painted and offered on the glass on the outside of this place that we're about to go.
Is that right?
So my hopes are high.
Are they?
Yes.
That we see someone karaokeing or that we participate?
know that the Berea is going to be good.
Oh, okay.
So there was one Berea spot in St. Paul that we found, and we went, and it was karaoke, but nobody was doing karaoke except for the restaurant owner.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
So it was cool. Yeah. Berea is pretty good.
If there's karaoke, the likelihood of the Berea being good from your experience.
That's just from my experience.
If there's karaoke, it's good.
And my ultra humble opinion.
Yes. You're ultra.
Maturing is realizing that you have a humble opinion.
Yeah. But
and then making sure everybody knows that it's humble.
Do y'all know that all of my opinions come from the deepest part of my humble heart? Anyways, y'all like, subscribe, and share. It's a good episode. I hope y'all enjoy it. I hope you made it this far. If not, you're lost.
Yeah.
Because in my humble opinion, it's a pretty good episode.
I mean, you gotta figure out how to be mature and listen to the whole episode.
Yeah. Grow up.
Yeah.
Grow up. Anyways, we'll see y'all next time. Later.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.